want to tell you a story, a bunch of stories, mamish, random. My days, they didn't have things like Rita and Lynn and all these things. So in my days, you know, you just had to bear with your ADHD and all these things, right? So, you know, I don't do well with it, so I'm just going to just like randomly tell you different stories. I will tell you stories and halacha maisim and all types of different things. Okay? You're all okay with that? Whoever's not okay with that could leave. You know, I don't care. Right, that, you know that. So, I want to tell you a story, a Merdiki story. I got the pshur, he got the pshur. You missed me, right? A little. So, you missed the two jokes. All right, I'll tell you the one that you'll tell me after the joke. There was a Jew, his name was Rav Reuven Karelenstein. I don't know if anybody in this room heard of him. There's a sefer called Yechi Reuven. Right? Rav Reuven, you heard of him? Yechi Reuven. Wonderful sefer. He was a Maggid. He's a Maggid, he was a Darshan, he was an incredible person. He went to America because he had a problem with his kidney. Like, obviously, a very serious problem with his kidney. I don't know if it was. He had a major problem with his kidney. And he went to America to get a kidney. He was in New York for 2 years waiting for this kidney. And I just want to give you like a suggest today of how if we would live life like this, we probably would be happier people. Not probably, we'd definitely be happier people. Forget if you'd be a religious Jew, you'd be a happier person. You know? So he went to America to get a kidney. He obviously had people help him. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a tremendous, you know, he was a shame dover in Eretz Yisrael. He was like one of the big Magidim. So when he came to America for 2 years, they waited for the list to get a kidney. And no luck. After 2 years, no luck. They decided to start going elsewhere to try and find this kidney. And they got wind that there's another place that potentially, the way it works, Kanira then, I don't know if it worked, probably doesn't work like that today. Today, just, you know, within a moment, you travel it back and forth. But in those days, the way it worked is if you were there, so then you were on a list to be, on that list to be accessible to that kidney. So maybe they decided to go to a different place. They decided that in San Francisco, there's a place that has I don't know how to conduct this to San Francisco. I'm trying as I'm thinking. But in San Francisco, yeah, I won't, so let's just go by it. In San Francisco, San Francisco is a mashal. What's going on in the world today, you know, San Francisco is not it's a mashal. But the Maisa, they decided to go to San Francisco because over there, you'll be on a list, a waiting list over there for a kidney. And he got to San Francisco, and the story is documented. I got to heard it from one of the family members, but now it's documented. So it's like you see, it's not just. He got to San Francisco. At the airport, there's a police officer who was waiting for him, and he was together with an Askin. He probably didn't know English at all, and they told him that he immediately has to contact the Medical Institute in New York. I think it was Mount Sinai Hospital, and to immediately contact them is some type of medical emergency. And they contacted them, and it turned out that they had a kidney in New York. That kid in New York, he had come, you know, 6 hours travel to, you know, from Fleischig to Milkes to come to San Francisco. And by the time he got there, after being in New York for 2 years, there was a kidney waiting for him in New York. Right? Okay. So what happened was, the story that transpired was that the medical staff in Mount Sinai didn't realize that he had traveled to San Francisco. They just knew that he wasn't around, and they sent the message that immediately he has to come in. And the Maisa, it turned out that he had to be there within 3 hours, right? Because Kanira, I don't know, they have their klalim and their rules and whatever. I guess a fresh kidney, and I think they took it out of somebody that was in an accident. Sorry?
Doesn't last good
out of the freezer. Doesn't last very good, you know, outside the freezer. But kids are, after three hours, obviously he couldn't get from San Francisco to New York in 3 hours, okay? And he lost the kidney. In other words, that kidney went for somebody else and that. They told him, in other words, he didn't travel at all. They told him it's not Negeya because you have to be there within 3 hours. So they told him like this. They told him, you have to go right now. We have to turn around and get back to New York. Okay? Chazdei Shemai. They told him, as he was in the terminal waiting to get onto the flight back to New York, they told him, no kidney, right? The person said over that when he told him there's no kidney, because he wasn't there, it was only for 3 hours. He told him why. Told him he only had 3 hours to get. Tell him that he had all of a sudden his face started to shine, right? And he started to say, such love, in the Hebrew, Yiddish, whatever he spoke, such love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for me. Such love. Person to ask him that was with him, thought in stomach, he's probably having a nervous breakdown. Now imagine Chalila Le'alein, don't imagine, right? Imagine Le'alein, 2 years, the person's waiting for a kidney. You get sent to San Francisco, he's on the way back now to get the kidney, and the person tells him, there's no kidney because you weren't there, right? And he starts to say the words, such love a Kadosh Baruch Hu has for me. Such love. You think the guy probably in his stomach, he probably lost it. He probably in his stomach, he's gone bonkers, I think it's called it. He gave him a bunch of bonkers. So he asked him, after they went home, he went back and he said to him, my hi, what's the pshat with that? He said, what are you talking about? What are you talking? He said, that I was in New York for 2 years. The second I left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to pick me up, throw me all the way to San Francisco, darting with the Toyeva, he had to take me and throw me all the way to San Francisco to get me out of New York, right? Because that kidney is not for me. That kidney is not for me. Could you imagine? That kid, there's something wrong with that kidney. It's not for me. Could you imagine living life like this? Now the story's over. The story's over. My contract is not mechayev me to tell you the end of the story. Because that's it. The story's over. Imagine just living life like that. Imagine the shkafa. The end of the story is that the kaka gave the kidney to somebody else, right? And that person died because that kidney was infected. It was a problem. It was some type of problem with the kidney. No, but imagine living life like that. It was Pasha Tim without the end of the story. You don't need the end of the story. We always need, we have to take out like our violin, right? At the end of the story, married, and Holocaust music, right? I lived happily ever after, right? Don't need the end of the story. My contract's not mechayev me to tell you the end of the story. Verstehst? Right? But could you imagine living life like that? That for 2 years he's waiting for a kidney. I go, oh, did see what he had to do? He had to throw me out of New York because I would have been there. What a love. How much love I could have spoken who asked me. Story number one. Unrelated to anything else I would talk about. Maybe Ulai Basoif, I'll say how it's related. Okay? The next story is potentially more important than the first story. Hagam, the first story is incredible. You understand the difference between a person that you could divide the world into two. The people that know that story and live based on that story and the people that don't know that story. Right? If you live life with that story, so then you never get caught in traffic again. Verstehst du, was ich sage? Right? Boom, there's a lot of people around you. That's how, okay. Different story. There's a fellow in America. Yes, I know, you probably know what I'm going to say, but you never heard it in the way that I'm going to say it. Okay? Just like, that's how it works in Torah. Sometimes you'll hear a shir from someone. You say, I know this already, right? It's not true, you don't know it already. Because the koyach of his neshama, when he says over the Torah, goes into your neshama, in his understanding, it's different. The Torah is not something like, it's not tape recorded, it's not you said it, I said the same thing. It gets inspired in my neshama. So even a story, anything that you can hear, just listen on a different level. There's a fellow in America, for purposes of his right to privacy, I'd like to keep his name out of this right now. And he yesterday, July 4th, 2019, right? This is close to 250 years, maybe 247 years, right? To the reason, maybe I got the math wrong, right? To the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, freed America from the English, British evil rule. I tell this to my wife every day. And she's English, just laugh, it's okay, don't worry. Yeah? Yesterday, on July 4th, 2019, a human being, an American human being, right? I think you all know this. An American human being.
He has fingerless, he has toes.
Ate in 10 minutes 71 hot dogs. Wait, I heard this. I said, okay, I hear. 71 hot dogs. His record is 74. He swore in a press conference. There was a press conference for this. Right? There was a press conference. Front page at Ted for state. He swore in a press conference that this year he will break his record and get to 75. Right? He doesn't. Successful. Right? The female counterpart we'll get to in a moment, of course. I heard this. Somebody, one of my chevra over there, right? One of my chevra in Slonim, one of my Slonim or Hasidim over there, right? Felt that Rabbi Callis must know this information. It's extremely important. Extremely important. Right? But I said, okay, I hear it. 71. I hear it. I could probably, in 10 minutes, but what I didn't know was, he ate it with the buns. Point of Dal Makua. He ate it with the buns.
With the washers on.
With the buns. Now you have to say Ne'ilo. Lahavdil. I don't even have to say Lahavdil. Some things is like such a Lahavdil, right? You don't say Lahavdil, me and the wall. You know, like, it's a Lahavdil, Shem Shemichael me. Lahavdil, Shem Shemichael me. Right? The Gemara in Brachas talks over there that he had this big problem because he wanted to eat bread, but he had no time to eat bread and to wash. The Bali Taisis used to take bits of bread and they used to soak it in water. And then when you take bread under kazayis, you soak it in water, it takes away, if you do it for a long time, it takes away the shape pass, and then you don't have to make a moitzi on it, right? Lahavdil, this human farm animal, right? This moo, right? This human farm animal. You soak the bread in water. Lahavdil, Ricky the Ager used to soak the bread in water. Lahavdil. Right? He soaked the bread in water and then went on to eat 71 hot dogs, as millions cheered. Millions of Americans cheered. They cheered. He ate 71 hot dogs. Right? I told it. When I heard the story, my Shlana Machasidim said to me, Rebbe, how many could you eat? Right? I said, two. Life three. Right? I think the biggest bugger in this room, maybe, eight. We were like 12.
20.
What? Wow. 10 minutes. What? 10 minutes.
3 halakhim months.
Okay. I want to tell you why I'm telling you this story.
3 halakhim months.
What?
4. 4. Don't. 4. 4. 4 and a quarter. 4 and a quarter halakhim.
He lasted you. You're Kinderspiel. What? He lasted whoever the guy is. You're Kinderspiel. That's dessert. That's a toothpick. I want to tell you why I also asked that question. The first question I asked, I said to me, he said, he's not a big guy. He's no Shaggy Callis. He's not like Clancy. He's like a regular skinny dude. He's like, I don't even know where it goes. By me, it would come straight out the toes. Fine. Why am I telling you this story? I mean, it's very clear why I'm telling you this story. But why am I telling you this story? Now I'm going to tell you a different story. I am going tonight to tell this story at my table, at my Shabbos Kodesh table. At my table in Shabbos Kodesh, there is nothing but Torah, Yerushalayim, Maisim, stories, Musar. That's what my table, is very enjoyable, but I make sure everything has what to do with Torah. I'm going to say this story. This I'm going to say, I'm thinking about saying it before I wash it. But I feel it's so important. I'm telling you, this story is Yisoide. This is Mamish Kiddush B'Mokim Suda. By me, it's not a hefsek between the Kiddush. I'm going to say over B'li Neder, I'm going to say over the story before we wash tonight. Right? After Kiddush. After Kiddush. No. I'm telling you. By me, the story is not a hefsek. I want to tell you what I'm going to say. Then I'm going to tell this story. Let's tell the story. Okay? Then I'm going to tell them about how the Kafachayim used to eat. Okay? I have no havamina that I will be able to eat like this. I have no havamina, right? But if I hear that and I hear this, right? So then there's a chance that I'll at least go in that direction, on that side. Okay? The Kafachayim. I don't know if you ever heard of the Kafachayim. It's one of the Svardish Gedolim. Okay? And one of the Zeinikoch told me the story. Rabbi Chaim wrote an encyclopedic work, Ain the Mishnah Berurah, but he put a lot of Kabbalah in there. He wrote a sefer on Shulchan Aruch where he put in, on every sefer, it's like a 10-volume set, and he put in there an incredible amount of Kabbalah, incredible amount. It is Malei V'Gadish Kabbalah. All right? He was probably the biggest Mekubal of his time, about 100 years ago. Right? And it was, it's Mali, the Gadish Kabbalah. And he puts it into Halacha. So you see, this is a person that's Badekt in Kabbalah, he's Badekt in Halacha, he's like the all-around camper. Okay? Everything. So I always would think, when he would write such a sefer, he probably has to sit in a room and concentrate like this, and anybody would make a creak in the door or whatever, you know, he'd probably turn into a frog. He'd maybe hear rip it, whatever. Right? Because to write the sefer, you have to have such incredible concentration. So the person, this Enzikol, was telling me, no. When he would write the sefer, no. Mamash, you can come in there, he would pat him on the head and dust and write. Nothing garnished, nothing stared him, and he would just write. Nothing shared. They say the same thing about the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, when he wrote his sefer, the Aruch HaShulchan is the only Paiskin that we have. They wrote on Kol HaTar Kulo. He wrote everywhere. And Pasha, you'd be sick, you think he was probably sipping the martini on the Riviera while he was writing. Right? He was sitting in a Beis Din in the Vardik, and every Meshigana that would come in, and they would start screaming. He had only a Rambam. That was all he had. He had a Rambam and a Shulchan Aruch, and then he wrote. Don't call it HaTar Kulo. Okay, I guess if you were the Netziv's brother-in-law, then you'd also do things like that. I don't know. Akoponim, that's what he did. Right? He's also Nitziv's father-in-law. How you be Nitziv's brother-in-law and Nitziv's father-in-law? Because Nitziv's wife died young, and then he remarried the Aruch HaShulchan's daughter, and that's one of the tidbits of knowing Tragi counts to get these interesting information. He's 40 years older than his wife. Okay, fine. I'll go pardon him. So, the Kaf HaChayim, when he would learn, no problem. The concentration, okay, whatever, nothing bothered him. But when he would eat, as Enkel said, when the Kaf HaChayim would eat, if there would be somebody that in the room would make a noise at this or that, he's staring all the Kabbalah, all the concentration. By him eating was an avodah. It was like it was karbanis. It was mamish karbanis, right? It was an absolute avodah. And I was like, I don't even know what this means, right? Yeah, I don't know what it means to have concentration when you eat, right? Move food, get to a mouth. That's the most insane. But it's very important because when you hear this story, it makes a shpah on you. It makes a shpah on you, Rabbi said. The Baba Sali, I'm telling you, two Svardish and Meisim today, so this must be like, you know, the real deal. The Baba Sali, when he would eat, he would make sure that the only people that be Mashamishim, none of them could be Bali Mumim. They couldn't be Bali Mumim, right? I don't know what that means. A lefty, the Gemara Bechayra says in Daf Memei, a lefty is a Bal Mum. The right arm don't work. The lefties are bamum. Don't feel bad, because when Mashiach comes, he's going to cure all the lefties and make them into righties. Right? This is like very politically not correct. You know, if you're like, ah, tomorrow. Right? I'm Ethiopian Asnik, who's a lefty. But the Baal Mitzali wouldn't let any Bali Mumin be Mashamishim. His Kedusha Zachim was incredible. Right? If you take the mass weight of 71 hot dogs with their buns and add it up, okay, it is more than all the food that Rav Aaron Leib Shteyman ate in the 104 years that he walked on this earth. Now, I'm not saying, I don't care. Nobody is going to have Avamina being like Rav Aaron Leib and not like the Kaf HaChayim and not like the Babi Sali's Mashamish that he got kicked out. Right? But like, you have to hear these stories, Rabbi. You got to hear the Zevu Maseh. The more we hear this story that there's 2 million Americans that were cheering as this was going on, and about 1 billion, if not 2 billion, that know about this information, this person, he's going to run for president one day. Burp. Okay? Come to Matziv. The world is gone fucking mad. The world is gone crazy. Right? So I'm not saying, so you know what? Hear the story, hear the Kaf HaChayim, and Epis one less falafel. I don't know. Lay down. Right? I don't know. Okay, unrelated story. Next. One more? That was one. The first one was, if you live life with that story, with the kidney herbs, like in a different... you're a different plane of simcha, no? You know, if I was really girly, you know what I would do now? You know, we're going to start singing Asenu Kol Yisrael. If I was really girly, I would say to you, no, say a ma'is of hashkacha. Let me hear a ma'is of hashkacha. Everybody here has to have one thing where he sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu a day. You can't walk through life and not see, you know, I'll tell you what happened to me this morning. Everything's hashkacha. This pellet, you guys don't always want to say, I come in here at like 10:51. Always 10:51. I leave the yeshiva, I give the shir, but the parsha shir in Tzeratzkin, right? The shir ends the same time, Baruch, at 10:31, 32. I'm supposed to officially probably end at 10:30, but that's how things go, 10:30, 10:33, right? And every single time I get into my car, I get the same thing, and now it's just up to the Abishta to get me here. You see this, it's officially, there's enough time, there's 19 minutes, and that's it, right? And today, I'm just. If you live life like this, and you see Ashkachas Hashem, right? It's kemat, one time I had to cancel. If you remember, it was one time? Right? You were drunk. So it was one time that I know you were somewhere else. That's okay.
Somewhere else.
But I'm driving today. All of a sudden, there was one of those garbage trucks. You know, the nasty ones that take out of the ground. Right? The most interesting thing since since Baba Basra. You know, right? You know that it takes it out of the ground. He stopped his monster. I don't know what you want to call it. Right? Toward the end of Sorotskin as he drove down, he stopped in the middle of the street, and there are three of those, not the end of Sorotskin, meaning when Sorotskin continues, on that street over there. He stopped his monster in the middle of the street. It takes 8 minutes for that thing to go. 8 minutes, none less, no less, there's no question. 8 minutes, there's no question, right? He stopped it at, my clock in the car is wrong, it's 10:45 or something. So it's 10:43. At 10:43, that means 8 minutes, which means 10:51. Which means I will not be able to get here until 11 o'clock. Okay? You know what happens in yeshivas and sachin. If you're not there at 10:50, Kallus isn't coming. You know, Christ. Kallus isn't coming. How do you even have that? Not coming. And I'll be honest, I lose my cheshik also once I see that I'm not going to make it. So then what am I going to do? I'm going to come there. I'm going to find out it's just me and Mendel talking about dry tzayah. I'm out of here, right? I'm out of here. Yes, right? What am I going to do? I'm going to logically tell this fellow to move over and I can, you know, it's a little crap. Right? And then, so again, if you live life with the Eivish, right, just understand what Hashkoch is. Hashkoch is Hashkoch in every single place. Right? I said to my wife was on the phone with me. I said, I am stuck behind the monster garbage truck. Right? Hashem can do anything. Now, my contract is not mechayev me to tell you the end of the story. Right? Because it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The hashkafa of living life like that, that the Eibishter is in every single step, then you're a different person, right? But I am going to tell you the end of the story. The end of the story was, it was mamish, like a nace, an absolute nace, right? The way this garbage truck, you know, worked, is it had that hook. You know, again, a hook? That whole matzah, that whole hook. You know what I'm talking about? It has like that whole arm.
Sure, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, the crane. But on the bottom of the hook, the crane, this is an arm. It has a hand on the bottom. So it has like, you know, so on the bottom it has that like, that thingy. And, you know, oh, you know I can do these things, did you? Right. I can get this foot over here and walk around. I do backflips too, but I'm not doing it. No way. Right? But this, so it had that like thingy at the bottom, right? And so he is attaching it. I'm sitting there. I can't even learn because it smells so bad. Soyevesha, the theme of today, right? I can't even learn. And I'm watching this thing go on. The most incredible thing ever in the history of the world happened. He put it on. He starts to lift it out. And it broke off. So I thought to myself, okay, I'll be here for the next 5 hours, right? Sure, because the thing fell off. The thing fell off. It was a dangerous thing. The thing fell off. It just fell off. Just there. It fell off, right? So the garbage man starts, he screams something like, which means the thing fell off. Right? So the guy from the car goes, right? Which means, okay, so get it. Right? So he takes it, he got in this garbage truck, and he threw away. At 10:43, right, I continued on to the Shiva because look how much a Kaddish Baruch Hu loves you. You get to hang out with me today, huh? Right? You should have to do this. Once a day you have to do this. Once a day you have to do this. You have to see this. A normal, healthy person does it 5 times a day. From Eden, do it 10 times a day, right? Tzaddik can do it all day, right? So once a day, don't you want to be happy in life? Just once a day, and then you know what happens? Then Chalila La'aleinu gets to the bigger things, Chalila La'aleinu, but like that, and then boom, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, right? Mardik, good Shabbos, you offer your time.